Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, joined again, as per usual, by Augie, the man with the plan, the man crunching the numbers, the stats guy. And guess what? We're going to start this week in a place called the United States of America, the good old USA. And why haven't we been in the USA? Well, because there hasn't really been that much going on in the USA, right, Augie? Except they're slowly sinking deeper and deeper into the quagmire. It's kind of funny for us here in Moscow, because we're always getting this how's your three-day war going, right? Which wasn't a Russian. Nobody Russian ever said that the war in Ukraine would take 3 days. It was a guy called Mark Milley. I've said this so many times, but no, it suits them to say, how's your three-day war going? How's your three-day war going in Kiev? How's your two-week war going in Iran? How was your 21-year war in Afghanistan, Augie? Replacing the Taliban with the Taliban? Anybody? Anybody for replacing the Taliban with the Taliban? 21 years? You know, $6 trillion? No. Let's not mention the war, literally. But we are, as we say, starting in the USA. And who better to start with? An old favourite on the Moscow Mules, right, Augie? Our friend Lindsay Nosferatu Graham. Yes, the man who has never seen a war he didn't want to get involved in. Never seen a young man who he didn't want to suck the blood of.
Ha! Gay!
And is perpetually on the coattails of the big Don, trying to get into his favours. Please send me some money, I need some money. Now, what Lindsay has decided to suggest is that because the big Don has solved so many wars,
I've solved 8 wars. 8 terrible wars. Terrible. The worst wars.
That he should be now given the Trump Prize. It's not the Nobel Peace Prize anymore, right, Augie? It's now the Trump Peace Prize. We sh** you not. Yeah. Run the video, Augie.
He can pull this off. If he can get Saudi Arabia, the center of Islam, for the entire world to recognize the Jewish state Israel, he will have ended the Arab-Israeli conflict that's been going on for thousands of years. They should change the Nobel Prize to the Trump Prize. If he can do that, and I think he can, it's the biggest change in the history, in the modern history, and in the ancient history of the Mideast.
So, Augie, okay, let's break this one down a bit. The Arab-Israeli conflict that's been going on for thousands of years. How long has the State of Israel been in existence? 1948, you'll find. And it was established by basically, you know, killing, raping and murdering tons of Palestinians. Let's not mention the war. Again, we're not talking about the war. Look, Mr. Graham, he just has never seen a war. He doesn't want to penetrate straight into. Right, Augie?
And I like the part where he promises that this will even change the ancient history of Middle East, because apparently Donald Trump is not just a peacemaker, he's also a time-traveling peacemaker.
You're going to go back and change the ancient history, right? Easy. Easy when you're Lindsay. Now, something we've noticed here in the Moscow Mules, Augie and I, we noticed that when Nosferatu Graham is rolled out or wheeled out into the media, it's because there's a bit of a show going on in the White House. There's something amiss. The whole MAGA project, all the promise of MAGA. And I got to admit, myself, I think Augie, a lot of us here, were kind of very hopeful when we saw the messaging around Big Don, people around Big Don, particularly people like Tulsi Gabbard. The fact that she'd been given the intelligence chief's brief, this really looked like the United States of America was actually going to implement a lot of the promises that they said they would. No more foreign wars, focusing on American security, no more funding of coups, regime change, none of this endless show that's been going on since the Second World War. Dozens and dozens of coups, you know, 30, 40 million civilians dead in all these foreign failed wars. We all thought it was going to be, you know, party time. We thought it was game over for the U.S. Uncle Sam's hegemony. How wrong we were. And one of the refugees that clung to the raft longest, right, Augie? Right up until last week, essentially, was, of course, Tulsi Gabbard. Very smart, very intelligent lady, military veteran, a very sporty, very attractive woman, very competent, who had all along maintained that Iran was not a threat to the United States of America. And when you saw the messaging coming out from low IQ people around Trump, not mention any names, Pete, you know, about Iran and the sort of Windows Movie Maker creation of the validation for this, you know, completely unnecessary war, which achieved the closure of the Hormuz Strait, which was open before the war started, right? When you saw that, you knew, really, those of us who are America watchers, we kind of knew, right, Augie, that Tulsi would be no more. Let's have a listen to her. Run it, Augie.
All-out war with Iran would make the wars that we've seen in Iraq and in Afghanistan look like a picnic. It will be far more costly in lives and American taxpayer dollars, and all towards accomplishing what goal, what objective?
No war with Iran. Get our troops out of Iraq and Syria now.
But what I've seen over these months is that every time they make progress and they move closer and closer to that hope for peace, the warmongers in the deep state step up and try to do everything they can to stop them.
Now, one of the other people who offered some hope was, of course, RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a man who had a lot of objectivity, talked a lot of sense around Russia, around the Ukraine war. All these people were saying all the right things. You know, it really was a time of hope that there could be some kind of rapprochement between the United States and America. Of course, America being the main protagonist in the war in Ukraine, the biggest funder, the people behind the Maidan coup in 2014, all America. So there was hope. And as we say, RFK was one of those people. Now, one of the things that the big Don did say, Augie, all along was he was going to drain the swamp. What lives in the swamp? There are lots of snakes, lots of nasty, creepy crawlies and little reptiles. Now, RFK is a man prone to, let's say, unusual opinions on some things, let's say. Okay? Face it. And he decided this week to demonstrate his complete fearlessness. Some would say abject stupidity, unless you know exactly what you do and you shouldn't do this at all. And he actually gets bitten a few times, okay? So it seems that while the snakes remain around the Big Don, at least RFK is trying to rid a few of them off his balcony. Yeah, run the video, Augie. Most retarded thing ever.
So, what are they?
He got bitten like three times or something.
What were they?
So tell me, Che, how many more snakes left to be caught in the White House?
Oh, plenty more, plenty more. Yeah, the vipers are abroad. Now, the swamp, of course, isn't just in the United States of America. America's a great country. It's a beautiful country. Great people. We love the United States of America. We just like poking fun at the idiocy that's going on in the White House. Went on before. We'll go on next. It's just a kind of a traveling circus. Red or blue, it makes no difference to you. And it's a global swamp. Okay. Now, we noticed something very interesting going on in Australia. Good old Oz. Hello to all our friends in Australia. How are you down there? All good? Now, we noticed that a member of the One Nation Party, which is a right-wing party, very conservative, very stiff on, you know, immigration, the usual stuff, kind of AFD, kind of, you know, Restore UK. You know the kind of people, the kind of pitch. You would imagine that when he got elected and he made his speech in Parliament, right, that he would get up and say, okay, this is our policy, this is what we're going to do. It all went a bit Pete Tong. It all went a bit wrong in the Australian Parliament when he got up and thanked his Muslim gay boyfriend or partner for standing by him, admitted that he loves all kinds of migration, and it basically came out as a Green Party member. He didn't come out as a gay because everybody knew he was gay. He came out as a Green Party member, a low IQ halfwit with no concept of reality. Yeah, don't believe me? Run the video.
To my partner, Isang, we have built a life together. I think about where we started out, about where, how much we've grown together and how much we've achieved in the 11 years of being together.
He just starts crying because, you know, gay,
thank
Romans,
you for sending
some right
for every high and low, your faith and support when things felt overwhelming.
It sounds like me talking about Augie at the Christmas party. And like talking about the global swamp, right? It's the same in Europe too. And one of the most striking disappointments that Augie and I feel has emerged in European politics in the last, what, 5-10 years, is Giorgia Meloni, right? The woman that said all the right things, you know, told us she was going to tackle immigration, she was going to tackle wokeism, this transgender sort of advocacy everywhere you look, the NGOs, she said it all. And what did she do? She became front and center. Look at every WEF, every Davos meeting. She's slap bang in the middle. And who is she all over like a badly fitted jacket? Yeah, the narco fuhrer. These people would really, really make you puke.
Well, Che, at least people can be happy that they won the cultural war, right?
Yeah, because the cultural war and the stemming of this creeping liberalization is the cause. Nothing liberal about it. Hasn't stopped at all. It's actually accelerated, right? Check this out. In the Australian Parliament, a debate about the rights of transgender women. First thing, newsflash, there's no such thing as a transgender woman. There are men and women. Men are born with testicles and penises. Women are born with ovaries and vaginas.
Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Yes, sorry to have to break it to you. And the problem is, most of these fruitcakes who dress up as females and pretend to be women and want to go into to share the toilets with the ladies have probably never seen a vagina before. And that's probably why they're all over this shit. Yeah, for real. Check out what they're talking about in the Australian Parliament. Of course. Oh, Jesus, give me a break. Run it, Augie.
If someone is who applies for a job, for example.
Yes.
And it is a trans woman and she may be asked whether or not she intends to have children. And if she replies, yes, I do, and then doesn't get the job because that employer doesn't want to employ
women
who may be of childbearing age, then she may have been subjected to unlawful discrimination on the basis of...
All right, so trans women that will... What?
Yeah, what the... A trans woman that's going to have a baby... I'm lost. I don't get it anymore.
I mean, maybe it's because it's Australia, Che. I know they walk on their heads there, so, you know, things can be a little bit different.
Maybe that's why everything's upside down in Oz these days. Well, we live in hope that someday men will become men again, women will become women again, and we'll look back and laugh at the complete idiocy of suggesting that anything else could have been remotely fucking possible. Kind of like... the idea that you could ban Russia from sport. Absolutely idiotic. Very convenient, though, for the libtards and the retards in little countries that never won a medal in their lives, because suddenly all the Russians were sitting at home playing PlayStation while you were basically stealing the medals, right? And we've got a beautiful little piece of video for you. And it kind of defines the idiocy of the whole situation whereby Russian athletes were banned. Well, Israel wasn't. America, like we said, 30 million dead civilians since the Second World War. The British Empire, slavery. For you know, the list goes on and on about what you could ban people from sport for. What people want to do is see the best sports people doing their best on the field against their guy. That's all that matters. Nobody gives a shit, okay? Except... Remember helmet guy, dead helmet dude? The Ukrainians are good at this, but particularly Ukrainians who can't win. Check out this Ukrainian gymnast who's just been beaten by the Russian, which nobody wants to mention, right, Augie? Just been beaten by the Russian because the Russians are the best in the world at gymnastics and many other sports in that space. Basically blocking, she has the earphones in, the eyes covered because the Russian national anthem is being played. Oh yeah. We've got a message for Ukrainians from Moscow here. Get used to hearing that anthem and get used to looking up at a Russian standing above you with a big gold medal around her neck. Mm-hmm. Ooh, sorry.
Who knows? Maybe it will be your anthem one day.
Yeah. Exactly. Run it, Augie.
There's just not enough copium in the world.
So good. Now, of course, you might think, oh, she's just a kid, you know, indoctrinated. We've shown you the videos of the kids in the Nazi camps being told that our father is Bandera, oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's all harmless fun. It's not all harmless fun. Because this idiotic ideology, this Russophobia, this cultivated hatred, okay, of very brotherly nations before, I don't think there's so much brotherliness now, but historically, religiously, geography-wise, and culturally, very, very close countries, but there's a lot of energy going into pulling them apart. And we came across a great piece of video of two complete retards who aren't even Ukrainian attacking old enough Ukrainian guy because he had a KGB t-shirt on. You know, remember, Ukraine had a KGB, Russia did, you know, Belarus, Latvia, Lithuania, all the 15 Soviet republics. And many people look back at the Soviet Union fondly in Ukraine, in Russia, in Georgia, all the places I've been in the old Soviet Union. People kind of remember it fondly with one side, negatively in the other, of course. But what's interesting about this bit of video, right, Augie, that Augie spotted, is that these aren't even Ukrainians who are attacking the Ukrainian. This is two retarded gays. Yeah. One retarded English gay and one retarded, you know, Asian gay. We don't know where he's from. They're both in Ukraine dressed up like two clowns off a TV comedy show, stalking the streets, dishing out Banderist advice to an old guy who was born in the Soviet Union, grew up in it, and now is still living in Ukraine. Going about his business, none of the Ukrainians seem to be bothering, but the two gays, I'm the only gay in the village, have something else to say. Absolutely remarkable stuff, and it defines the Ukro scammers, the Ukrotards, who are attracted like a magnet to the Star Wars narrative around Ukraine. That poor virginal Ukraine never hurt anybody. Ask the 200,000 Poles whose children were had their throats cut and their babies were nailed to the barn doors in Volhynia in Poland in the Second World War. Ask the people in Donbass who were bombed and shelled, raped and murdered by Tornado, Arbat, all these terrible paramilitaries that were sent to Donetsk and Donbass in 2014. This is what you call gross ignorance and stupidity, and no better people to play it than these two halfwits. Run the video, Augie.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's right now. This soldier over there, you're wearing this shirt. Putin.
I mean, he can't even swear correctly, right?
Take that off! Slava Ukraini! Putin! And watch! Take the shirt off! Look at what you're wearing! Yeah? Yeah? You wanna go? You wanna go? You wanna go? This military over here and you're disgusting wearing that head!
The minutes are covered too, right? When he's saying, like, you want to go, you want to go? Well, there's a military out there, right?
He says, you want to go? You want some of me? Well, there's a couple of soldiers over there will deal with you.
Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
Classic, classic libtard halfwit.
I would say classic British arrogance.
We can add a sprinkle of classic British arrogance in there, Augie. So we're going to go from two gay libtard British clown fuckwits on the streets of Kiev to another low IQ halfwit who is now in charge of diplomacy for the European Union. Yeah, I mean, yeah, even saying it sounds wrong. Kaya Kallas, right? The woman who hates Russia, who suffered terribly in the Soviet Union, but was the daughter of the top Soviet official, you know, don't say it, in Estonia, Siim Kallas, check him out, yeah, who was part of the Soviet elite, whose husband was trading in Russia, they made a ton of money, went around in a big limousine, yeah, don't say that, because now we hate Russia, okay? Fluent Russian speaker too, by the way, old Kaya. Let's have a listen to Kaya trying her very, very best to actually say something. We've no idea what she's actually trying to say, but she's trying to say something. So let's have a listen to her trying to say something because there's not much else to say except here is the head of diplomacy for the European Union who never worked as a diplomat, never studied diplomacy, is a failed politician because she was the boss man's daughter in old Estonia, crooked as a $6 note. Yeah, here we go. Run the video, Augie.
And then on the question of the troops, Russian troops in Moldova, Georgia. So it is one idea, because when we talk about European core security interests, then it is not in the interest of not those countries, not us, if those countries are looking or trying to be, on the European path, then that there are Russian troops stationed there. It's a clear security risk, and it is in our interest that they are moved. So nobody was opposing that. So, still there. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's... Now I understand it all. Now, Augie and I, of course, are just guys. And as guys, interested in history and military stuff and, just guys. We like watching stuff blow up. And we've seen a video which is really probably a sort of a 9 out of 10 on the blowing stuff up scale, right, Augie? And this is Jeff Bezos, which is also makes it kind of enjoyable. We're watching a ton of Jeff Bezos' money, who's so kind to his employees, by the way, going up in flames. Nobody was injured, etc., etc. So we kind of wanted to show it to you too. But we also think that it also defines how things are kind of going in the West right now. They're telling us everything is absolutely perfect. Everything's going super. AI is going to be fine. Don't worry, it's not going to... I'm going to wake up one day and your toaster is going to be at your throat with a bread knife with the washing machine. It's all fine. Everything's going to work out just as we planned. Trust us. We're oligarchs. America has them too. And we're going to send you to Mars on this, right? Oh, yeah. Katy Perry, how are you? On the video, Augie.
Spectacular. Wow.
Something else, right?
This is your future, dear viewers.
And of course, it reminds us of why they don't launch rockets from places near houses, etc. Bad idea.
Only in Ukraine.
Well, that sadly brings to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. As per usual, we love making it. We love you joining us. And we think Jeff's rocket kind of going up in smoke is definitive of things. As we say, it doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't matter what you're promised. You're going to get probably vaporized. It's kind of relentless. You know, they want to push towards war. It's been a grim week. We've seen some pretty grim stuff. We've kind of let it lie now for a while. And we've decided to try and cheer you up a little bit this week. Because, you know, we all need a little hug, a little humor hug, as Augie and I like to call it. And, of course, your humor hugs will be here, same time, same place, next week. So keep the faith, keep the head down, try to do the right thing. Not always easy, not always easy at all. So until then, we'll see you all. Mind yourselves, mind each other, and we'll see you soon. Bye.